hari hari. Yashodanandana Braja Janaranjana Yamuna Tira Vanachari Yamuna Tira Vanachari Jaya Jaya Prabhupada 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 Jaya Prabhupada Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Narayana Namaskritya Naram Chaiva Narottamam Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam Tato Jayamudirayat Nashta Praeshu Abhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavati Uttama Shloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtaki. So welcome everyone to this morning's Srimad Bhagavatam class. I'm very happy and honored to be here with you again after a long time. I'll ask all of your blessings, please, to be able to speak on the Bhagavatam. It's a jewel of transcendental wisdom that Srila Prabhupada has so kindly given us. Today we're speaking on Canto 2, Chapter 1, the first step in God realization, text 22. Rajavacha Yata Sandaryate Brahman Dharana Yatra Samatha Yadrishi Vahared Ashu Pudushasya Manomalam Rajavacha Yatha Sandharyate Brahman Harana yatra samatha. Yadrishi vaharid ashu. Purushasya mano malam. Please chant. Tasandayate Brahman. Karana yatra samatha. Yadrishiva harid ashu. Purushasya mano malam. Raja Vasha. Yatasandayate Brahman. Tadana yatra samatha. Yadrishiva harid ashu. Purushasya mano malam. Samatam Yadrishiva harid ashu Purushasya manomalam Yata sandayate Brahman Harana yatra samata Yadrishiva harid ashu Purushasya mano malam Yata sandayate Brahman Dharana yatra samatha Yadrishiva harid ashu Purushasya mano malam Vaishnavis Yata sandayate Brahman Dharana yatra samatha Yadrishi harid ashu Purushasya mano malam Yata sandayate Brahman All right, let's do the word for word. Rajavacha. The fortunate king said, Yata, as it is, Sandharyate. The conception is made. Brahman, O Brahmana. Dharana, conception. Yatra, where and how. Sammata, in a summary. Yadrishi, the way by which. Va, or. Haret, extricated. Ashu, without delay. Purushasya, of a person. Manaha, of the mind. Malam, dirty things. Translation and purport by the disciples of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Oh, sorry. We've been doing the later cantos of the Bhagavatam for so long. Okay, let me do that again. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. All right, here we go. Thank you for the correction. The fortunate king, Parikshit, inquiring further, said, O Brahmana, please describe in full detail how and where the mind has to be applied and how the conception can be fixed so that the dirty things in a person's mind can be removed. So let's repeat this bit by bit. The fortunate King Parikshit, inquiring further, said, O Brahmana, please describe in full detail how and where the mind has to be applied,
and how the conception can be fixed,
so that the dirty things in a person's mind
can be removed.
Report. The dirty things in the heart of a conditioned soul are the root cause of all troubles for him. A conditioned soul is surrounded by the manifold miseries of material existence, but on account of his gross ignorance, he is unable to remove the troubles due to dirty things in the heart accumulated during the long prison life in the material world. He is actually meant to serve the will of the Supreme Lord, but on account of the dirty things in the heart, he likes to serve his concocted desires. These desires, instead of giving him any peace of mind, create new problems and thus bind him to the cycle of repeated birth and death. These dirty things of fruitive work and empiric philosophy can be removed only by association with the Supreme Lord. The Lord, being omnipotent, can offer his association by his inconceivable potencies. Thus, persons who are unable to pin their faith on the personal feature of the Absolute are given a chance to associate with his Virat Rupa, or the cosmic impersonal feature of the Lord. The cosmic impersonal feature of the Lord is a feature of his unlimited potencies. Since the potent and the potencies are identical, even the conception of his impersonal cosmic feature helps the conditioned soul to associate with the Lord indirectly and thus gradually rise to the stage of personal contact. Maharaj Parikshit was already directly connected with the personal feature of the Lord Sri Krishna, and as such he had no need to inquire from Shukadeva Goswami about where and how to apply the mind in the impersonal Virat Rupa of the Lord. But he inquired after a detailed description of the matter for the benefit of others who are unable to conceive of the transcendental personal feature of the Lord as the form of eternity, knowledge, and bliss. The non-devotee class of men cannot think of the personal feature of the Lord. Because of their poor fund of knowledge, the personal form of the Lord, like Rama or Krishna, is completely revolting to them. They have a poor estimation of the potency of the Lord. In the Bhagavad Gita 9:11, it is explained by the Lord himself that people with a poor fund of knowledge deride the Supreme Personality of the Lord, taking him to be a common man. Such men are ignorant of the inconceivable potency of the Lord. By the inconceivable potency of the Lord, he can move in human society or any other society of living beings and yet remain the same omnipotent Lord without deviating in the slightest from his transcendental position. So for the benefit of men who are unable to accept the Lord in his personal, eternal form, Maharaj Parikshit inquired from Shukadeva Goswami how to fix the mind on him in the beginning, and the Goswami replied in detail as follows. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Om jnana timirandasya jnananjana shalakaya chakshurum militam jena tasmai shri gurave namaha shri chaitanya mano vishtam sapitam jena bhutale swayam rupa kadamayam dadati swaparantikam vandeham shri gurum shri yuta padakamalam shri gurum vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagajatam Sahagana Raghunatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvetam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitam Cha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavanishvari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Sadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Jai. So this is a very instructive purport here, and a very merciful verse in which Parikshit Maharaj is asking this question for the benefit of others. Because leading up to this verse, the first canto ended with Parikshit Maharaj asking a question. Does anyone remember what that famous question was that ends the first canto, and the whole rest of the Bhagavatam is an answer to that question? What is my duty at the time of death? And then after that?
What should I chant? What should I hear?
Right. What should a person hear about, chant about, and remember?
Yes.
Yeah, especially at the time of death. So then after that, Sutta Goswami answered that, one should hear about and chant about the Lord, about Krishna, about Lord Vishnu, and meditate on his transcendental form limb by limb. So Maharaj Parikshit, he's thinking, oh gosh, Many people out there aren't going to be able to actually do that, because many people don't have a personal conception. They just can't accept the personal conception of the Lord. So what about them? What should they do? Please tell me how those people can, what they should fix their minds on, so that the dirty things in their minds can be removed. Because if we meditate on the personal form of the Lord, then we can very quickly get free from all these dirty things. But if we don't have the personal form, then like Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, it's very troublesome, right? He says that those who meditate on me in my personal form, for them, I'm the swift deliverer from the ocean of birth and death. But others who don't accept my personal form, who try to make advancement through the impersonal path, for them, advancement is very difficult and it takes a long time. But Maharaj Parikshit is asking this question out of great Vaishnav compassion for others. And Prabhupada mentions that for himself, he's directly connected with the personal feature of Krishna. So he doesn't need to inquire, but he's applying for others. So this is a very nice meditation on the Vaishnava's mood, always thinking of the benefit of others. So, and realizing the existence of these dirty things in the heart, which Prabhupada says are the root cause of all of our troubles. So we can just all meditate on our own troubles for a second. We all have our own troubles. And just let them all cycle through your mind for a minute. All my troubles. We could probably sit here all day just pondering our troubles, right? So sometimes we try to figure out, how did I get in this trouble? How did this trouble come upon me? And we try to, well, if I had done this, then this wouldn't happen, or if I had said this, then maybe I could have avoided this, or if I had, if I had changed things, my course of activities, or we blame somebody, this person is the cause of my troubles, or it's, the weather, or the government, or the pandemic, or whatever, my one member of my family or something, it's giving me so much trouble. So Prabhupada's saying, no, our troubles are the root cause of all these troubles is the dirty things in our own hearts. So that's what we need to deal with. Nothing externally is going to remove our troubles. The material world is going to be what it is, and as Prabhupada says in Bhagavad Gita 2.7 purport, that this material world is designed to be a place of perplexity. It's troublesome by design, and especially in Kali Yuga. So we're not going to get rid of these troubles that are external. That's the way it is. But if we can get rid of the dirty things in our heart that are actually the root cause of trouble, because they're what brought us here, but also even in this world, we can have basically a trouble, we can live in such a way that we're not troubled by the troubles that are out there, that are inevitably out there. So then the question is how to get rid of these dirty things. Well, so first of all, what are these dirty things?
Can anybody tell me?
According to Bhagavad Gita, we should have to analyze the entire universe.
Okay.
That is between Krishna and the soul. So by the mercy of Guru, these four things are removed. Sarup Brahma, Paratattva Brahma, Satta Sadantattva Brahma, Mayatattva Brahma. Sarup Brahma means I do not know my spiritual identity. And even if I hear, that is not enough. I have to learn how to focus and act on that platform. So then he breaks down that how physical, subtle, and soul proper. So any action under guidance of Guru who has come to remove those things in between Krishna and me, then soul proper activity will be there. Of course it will manifest through the senses, through the mind, but that's one.
Okay.
And then, you want to know the whole four? I mean, it's just details, but
yeah, you
it's
don't
very
have to go
beautiful.
Into, you can just give me a list, like the basic things that we consider as anartas, or things that, dirty things in the heart. Okay, lust, anger, greed are the big three, right?
Also, tuccha asukti, like an insignificant, attachment for insignificant thing.
Yeah, Hidai attachment, material attachments.
Hidai durbalam, weakness of the heart.
Right.
Yeah, these are like a key, little key point, but that's actually very big.
Yeah. Good, yeah, so lust, anger, greed, but the even that, the weaknesses of the heart, the material attachments, they're there because of these, you know, because of lust. Because we have material desires, then we're attached to material things because we think they can make us happy. And then we're attached to people who we think can give us those pleasures. And therefore, like Arjuna's weakness of heart was due to his attachment to his family members. So, lust, anger, greed, envy, like that. And if we consider those for a second, we can see how those dirty things, those anartas, are generally directed towards a person, right? Lust is usually directed towards a person. Or envy is directed towards a person. Of course, you could say lust is material desire. You could desire to have a nice car or a nice house or whatever, tasty food, lust over food or something. But like generally, the lust that really hits you, that really like, you know, like knocks you out, is that which is directed towards a person. And envy, you know, you could maybe envy, I don't know. Generally, envy is directed towards a person. So when these dirty things are very intense, then that blocks our understanding of our acceptance of the personal form of the Lord. Because if our nature is to be envious, then the most envious person is Krishna. The most enviable person is Krishna. Because, you know, he's the smartest, he's the strongest, he's the biggest celebrity, he's the most, what are the rest of them? The wealth, the richest,
famous,
he's the best looking, you know, he's like, and also the coolest, at the same time, the most renowned, like he's not attached to anything. So all the qualities that we would envy in another person, Krishna's got them to the unlimited degree. So then people who have too many dirty things in the heart, they can't accept the personal form of the Lord. And when Krishna comes in his personal form, then they deride him. Right, like he says in the Bhagavad Gita, that avajananti mam mudha manushim tanum ashritam param bhavam ajananto mama bhuta maheshvara. So yeah, fools deride me when I descend in my human form. They just can't accept this human form. They can't accept that God is a person, because as soon as God becomes a person, then all their dirty things come up. Just kind of like, you know, aggravates all the dirty things in the heart. And then the other reason they can't accept that God is a person is because they can't conceive of a spiritual form, of anyone having a spiritual form. Everything, they think everything that it takes a form must be material. So, yeah, param bhavam ajananto means that they don't understand that my nature, my bhavam, is param. It's transcendental. So they deride me. And it's actually a very rare person that can understand Krishna's transcendental nature. Right, Krishna says that also, that manushyanam sahasreshu, out of many who are endeavoring for perfection, hardly one knows me in truth. And to know Krishna in truth is so rare that janma karma cha me divyam, simply by knowing Krishna, the transcendental nature, simply by understanding this param bhavam, transcendental nature of Krishna's appearance in a personal form and activities in his personal form, then janma karma cha me divyam evam yo veti tat pataha tyakva deham punar janmam naiti mam eti sorjana. We don't have to come back to take birth again in the material world. So it's a big thing to understand and accept Krishna as a person. It's not a small thing. So it's very rare, you know, samahatma sudurlabha, it's very rare for someone to accept it. We think, you know, especially those of us who've been devotees for many years, it's kind of like, yeah, of course, you know, Krishna's God, of course God's a person, it's Krishna, you know, he does this, he does that, he looks like this, he has these friends, these are his parents. It's almost like a no-brainer for us that God is a person. But that's actually very, very rare. It's a very rare conception. It's a very highly elevated state of God realization. And most people aren't there yet. So Parikshit Maharaj is asking for the benefit of such people, that what about all of these millions of people? What about all the manushyanam sahasrishu out there? And I mean, Krishna's talking about those who are endeavoring perfection. There are so many that aren't even endeavoring. Most people aren't even endeavoring for perfection. Most people don't even know what perfection is. So what about them? How can we help them? But Srila Prabhupada says here that the dirty things of the heart can be removed only by association with the Supreme Lord. So such people need to associate with the Lord, but the same dirty things in the heart are blocking them from being able to associate with the Lord, at least in his personal form. So it seems it's like a catch-22. It's like, yeah, we need to get rid of these dirty things so that we can understand Krishna, and the way to get rid of the dirty things is to associate with Krishna, but we can't associate with Krishna because we can't accept Krishna because of the dirty things. So it's like, what to do? That's Parikshit's question. So then Krishna is so kind. Krishna is very merciful, and so he manifests himself in many different ways. And one of the ways that he manifests himself is in this impersonal feature. So it's like, okay, if you can accept me as a person, then for you I'll manifest myself in an impersonal way. Or if you can't conceive of anything beyond matter, because, you know, just being grossly materialistic, then I'll appear for you in a form that's totally material, that you can see, that you can touch, that's just palpable. And so that, of course, it's going to be elaborate. Sukadeva Goswami is going to elaborate on this in the, you know, as this chapter continues, but Srila Prabhupada mentions it here already, is the Virat Rupa, the cosmic impersonal feature of the Lord. So the Virat Rupa is the universal form, which is comprised of all the different, you know, things that are in the universe. Everything that we can see, and, you know, the earth and the mountains and the rivers and the forests and the clouds and all the things that, basically the universe. So this is actually a very popular conception nowadays, this idea of the universe. It's kind of, we could call it pop culture pantheism. It's very popular if you hang around with young people. I mean, I'm in Gainesville and on UF campus every day, and, you know, students come around to Krishna House. So they always, this is something that you hear all the time, like, oh, the universe has brought me here. You know, I had this desire in my heart, and I put it out there to the universe just to wait and see how the universe was going to reciprocate with me, and I feel like the universe is guiding me in this direction. And, you know, they talk like that. So it's actually it's actually worship of the Virat Rupa without knowing. It's theologically it's called pantheism. But pantheism is not bad, because it's also theism. So at least it's the acceptance of a higher power. You don't know who God is, so it's impersonal. But That there's something out there that's higher than me that's actually guiding me, that I can express my heart's desires to, my dreams, and expect some reciprocation from, somehow or other. So this is, it's something that, whenever I hear it, I always encourage it. You know, if students say, yeah, the universe is guiding me, then I say, yeah, you should, you know, continue expressing yourself, you know, like pray to the universe and listen to see how the universe is guiding you, because it's actually the Paramatma that's guiding them, but they just call it the universe because God is, you know, gone out of fashion, so the universe is the popular thing to say now. But actually, if you just, if people cultivate, if they actually have faith in the universe and you kind of cultivate them in that, then at a certain point, you know, you can start speaking about the universe in personal pronouns, right? Like, yeah, the universe is a person, like he the universe or they the universe or something. And then it's just a matter of, it's a gradual thing where you can just replace the noun universe with Krishna. The universe guided me here. Yes, Krishna guided you here. The universe is reciprocating with my desire. Yeah, Krishna reciprocates with everyone's desire. And so that pantheism, if you can pull them along on the path, on the line, the path of theism, then you can actually bring them to Krishna. It's very easy. You can just bring that universe person to becoming a devotee. So it's a kind of, it's kind of like bridge preaching. That's what this verse here is actually like. Maharaj Parikshit is trying to look for a bridge to connect people who are just totally incapable of understanding Krishna somehow to Krishna, to cross the chasm, to bridge the gap. And yeah, so we could even base some preaching programs on this, you know, with the people who are into the universe, that, you know, have a program like, what is the universe? And then discuss, you know, people's ideas about the universe and the role that the universe plays in their lives. And then read from the Srimad Bhagavatam about the universal form, descriptions of the universal form. That, yeah, this is actually verified by ancient, you know, wisdom literatures of the East and all this. And of course, then there's just, you know, the structure of the universe that's very interesting to everyone, different ideas about that. And in Mayapur, the TOVP, the whole concept there is attracting people to see the universe, the planetarium, which shows the structure of the universe according to Bhagavatam, and then to bring them in with that, by that, by attracting them, and then to steer them towards Krishna. So it's kind of cool that, you know, the way the TOVP is being designed is like the main hall. There's this big chandelier that's the planetarium, all the 14 planetary systems. But you're standing there looking up at the universe, but right, well, who's right in front of you? The Lord in his personal form. So it's kind of like the universe, oh yeah, and Krishna, the creator of it all, the sustainer of it all, who's making it all happen and managing and controlling the whole thing. So it's a very clear connection. And actually that whole TOVP is, it's a big preaching program. So that's, they're using the universe, the universal form, as a way to preach. And today's the appearance day of Jayapataka Swami, so we have to give him credit for, you know, all the effort and energy and that he's put into developing that project, the TOVP, which is, it's a big dream that Srila Prabhupada had. The very end of his life, Srila Prabhupada was expressing his desire for this temple of the Vedic Planetarium in Mayapur, and it's happening. And one of the people that's spearheading the development of that is Jayapataka Maharaj. So it's one way we can glorify him on his appearance day. So as devotees, we all want to connect people to Krishna. This is a preaching movement, and there are many ways that we can do that. So the universe is one. But there are so many ways, and there's ways that we can present Krishna in ways that that actually is Krishna, but people don't understand that we're presenting Krishna, like we do all the time. Like prasadam. Prasadam is non-different from Krishna, but people don't see that. They're not like, oh, this is God. but it actually is. Or when we introduce the holy name, we don't say, now we're going to chant the holy names of God. This is, you know, a process of religion for this age. We don't use those words, but we say, oh, would you like to try some meditation? We do mantra meditation. Or we present it as philosophy. So these are ways, and the Bhagavatam is philosophy, but it's also non-different from Krishna. And this philosophy actually is, you know, the book Bhagavat. It's the Lord. It's Shri Krishna Parivartita is non-different. It's Krishna himself. So there are many ways in which we present Krishna in a form that people don't understand that they're getting Krishna, but they're getting Krishna. And then there are other ways that we present Krishna consciousness that's more indirect. You know, like nowadays it's very popular to introduce people to Krishna consciousness through yoga. In many of our temples we do yoga, many devotees are, you know, trained yoga instructors, or through vegetarianism, cooking classes, or, you know, even things like astrology, or all these different, you know, many devotees are therapists, they do marma therapy, they do Ayurveda, and yoga, and all these things. So they're ways that are, they're not Krishna, but they're things that are supportive of a Krishna conscious lifestyle, or they're coming from the Vedic tradition. So we could compare them to sort of the Karmakanda of the Vedic times, where, you know, the Karmakanda portion of the Vedas, they're material, they're totally material, and people who, but they attract materialistic people by offering them, you know, performances which they can do to get material things that they want. So some of these things, like even, you know, like astrology, like yoga and Ayurveda, all these things, materialistic people are attracted to them because they think that through these things they can improve their material lives, right? Ayurveda, they can improve their material health. Yoga, they can improve their fitness, their longevity. And astrology, they can, you know more about how their material life is going to unfold, whether they're going to be rich, when they're going to get married, all these things. So, so like Karmakanda, in order to do Karmakanda sacrifices, you need a Brahmin priest. You need somebody to show you how it's done, to do the lead you in the ceremony. So also, if you have a devotee who's teaching Ayurveda, who's teaching yoga, who's teaching astrology, who's teaching vegetarian cooking, then the association with that person is going to be beneficial. And hopefully the devotee, you know, knows the art of making the connection. That, you know, so the Karmakandis, they do the rituals, but then at the end of that Karmakanda portion, there's also the Upanishads. So they can, when they get some faith that, oh, this Karmakanda ritual worked, I actually got my material thing that I wanted. What else is here in the Vedas that I can learn? How else can I improve my life? And then they come across some more transcendental things. So, oh, this devotee is a really, this person's a good, great yoga teacher. This is helping me. This Ayurvedic medicine is working. This whatever astrology is really cluing me into how I should go forward in my life. What else can I learn from this person? So these are all bridges. And people go in for material benefits, but they come out with much more. And this concept of bridge preaching is sometimes controversial in ISKCON. Some people are like, you know, forget about the bridge, just take them straight there, the bhakti elevator, just like go entrance, just like, why do we need to do, there's no prerequisites to bhakti, just straight in and straight up, you know, to the top. So that's great, you know, if people can do that, we want that, and we're looking, you know, we're like scouring the horizons for people who will just be like, yeah, let me in the elevator. But it's actually like we saw, like Krishna says, you know, such a great soul is very rare. So sometimes we need these things. But why is it controversial? So what are the arguments that people use? So one argument is that people never get across the bridge, right? You kind of connect them to some of these bridgey things and they get into it, but they never actually get out of the material phase. They never get connected to the transcendent thing. And the other part is that the other issue is that there's a danger that when devotees go into these things, they
you know, if you imagine like here's total Maya and here's Prema Bhakti, and then there's a bridge or stepping stones. So the devotee goes, you know, this way to try to grab this person and bring them across. So another danger is that the devotee stays on the bridge and kind of like, you know, gets off, you know, dry land and stays there in the kind of no man's land, right? And not on this side or not on that side, and just kind of like somewhere in between. So, yeah, we need to understand the dangers and the difficulties of this kind of preaching, and be very clear that it's not the ultimate goal. These things are not the ultimate goal. Even the universal form that Shukadeva Goswami is going to recommend is not the ultimate goal. It's also totally material. It doesn't exist in the spiritual world. So why would you introduce somebody to something that's material that doesn't exist in the spiritual world, that if they die meditating on it, they're not going to go back to Godhead? And, you know, why? Because that's the only thing they can take. That's the only thing that they're going to be able to accept now. So we just have to be very realistic and see where people are at and what they can take, and give them whatever they can hold on to and take it from there. So, yeah, but then we have to remember in the back of our minds that if they take to this process and they don't get to bhakti, then the whole thing was a waste of time. The Bhagavatam says that. Dharma swanushtita pumsam vishvakshena katasuya nodparayad yadi ratim shrama eva hi kevalam. So whatever we're doing, if it doesn't lead to attraction to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, which is the goal, then shrama eva hi kevalam. It's just a waste of time. So that we have to remember and know how to bring people across, you know, from one stepping stone to the next. So yeah, so if we're going to use this, if we, from, you know, if a devotee who's practicing bhakti is going to reach out to people and try to get use one of these bridge methods, then we need to know two things. We need to be very secure about two things. One is how to get that person to the next step. Because, okay, so say they're a pantheist. Say they're one of these universe worshippers. But pantheism is only pantheism if the person stops there. Srila Prabhupada talks about this in the Bhagavad Gita. I'm going to read a little bit here from chapter 6, text 47. That verse, many of you know, it's talking about how bhakti is the highest yoga. Prabhupada says, the culmination of all kinds of yoga practices lie in bhakti yoga. All other yogas are meant to come to the point of bhakti in bhakti yoga. Yoga actually means bhakti yoga. All other yogas are progressions towards the destination of bhakti yoga. From the beginning of karma yoga to the end of bhakti yoga is a long way to self-realization. Karma yoga without fruitive results is the beginning. When karma yoga increases in knowledge and renunciation, that stage is called jnana yoga. When jnana yoga increases in meditation on the super soul, and the mind is on him, it's astanga yoga. And one surpasses astanga yoga and comes to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, it's bhakti yoga, the culmination. He says, the yogi who is progressive is therefore on the true path of eternal good fortune. One who sticks to a particular point and does not make further progress is called by that particular name, karma yogi, jnana yogi, or dhyana yogi, raja yogi, hatha yogi, etc. If one is fortunate enough to come to the point of bhakti yoga, it is to be understood that he's past all other yogis. So yeah, so this was the point I was, that one who sticks to a particular point and does not make further progress is called by that particular name. So all these other things, every other religious process, every spiritual path, every thing we do, even the material things that people do, are actually meant to bring them to the path of bhakti, ultimately. And if they stay in that path, then they're called that thing. So someone who's worshiping the universe, you can call them a pantheist if they stay stuck on that. But our duty is to make sure they don't stay stuck on that. We don't want anyone to be a pantheist. We don't want anyone to be a karma yogi or a karma kandi or a ashtanga yogi or a whatever. We want them to be bhakti yogis. So we have to know this art of how to see, how to gradually cultivate people so they keep progressing. And then we also need to be strong ourselves so that we don't get
sidetracked by these things, because we also have our own dirty things. Although we understand that Krishna is the Supreme Personality, we still have our dirty things in our own hearts. And if we put us in certain circumstances, they rear their ugly heads. Has anyone ever had the experience that you thought you were kind of maybe a pure devotee, but then you kind of got hit, like, wham, oh no. I didn't know that was still there. So that happens. Somebody's phone? So yeah, so Anartana Vritti continues all the way up to the bhava platform. And we need to be aware of that, of our own frailties, our own weaknesses. But we are lucky because we have the process of bhakti. We have the five potent processes. So meditation on the Viradrupa is an indirect way, and that will gradually eliminate the dirty things. But bhakti is the direct way. And with bhakti, we have such an advantage because Krishna helps. And Krishna cleans the heart, personally. When you accept Krishna as a person, then he personally cleans the heart. You know, Srinivatam Swakata Krishna Punya Shravana Kirtan. He's in the heart, and he says that I will remove, you know, all these things. So, but at the same time, we also need to keep progressing, because even it's not that, you know, if you look at the analogy again, that here's Maya and here's bhakti, and then there's stepping stones. It's not that when you get to bhakti that you've just kind of landed, and it's like, okay, I'm a bhakti yoga, I've reached the perfection, I'm done. I just need it. Now, we also have our steps. There are also stepping stones in bhakti. All the way, you know, we start with Shraddha, Sadhu Sangha, Bhajana Kriya, Anartana Vritti, then Nishta, Asakti. Did I forget anything? Nishta, Ruchi, Asakti, Bhava, and Prema. And then even in those stages, you know, like even in prema, there's sneha and mana, pranaya, raga, anurag, manabha. There's even stages in each one of those stages. So we need to make sure that we're getting the right association, and we're emphasizing the right things in our personal practices to keep us from stagnating in bhakti. Of course, as long as we're chanting our 16 rounds, following the principles and following the program, we're going to be making advancement. But our needs change as we grow in bhakti. So what a very new person needs is a certain kind of association. They'll prioritize certain practices in bhakti. And then someone who's been practicing for 30, 40, 50 years, their needs are different. So we might feel like after practicing, if we go on doing the same things that we were doing, of course, I'm not saying give up the essential practices. The essential practices are always the same for everyone. But it's more like fine-tuning. So fine-tuning, there are some detailed things that we might need to adjust as we go along so that we continue to feel like we're growing, so that we stay enlivened. You know, like Prabhupada said, if you want the devotees to be enlivened, always give them a fresh new challenge. And always be enthusiastic. So we also need to challenge ourselves on an internal level. Not just, the challenges aren't just what we do, like services that are like put us in our stretch zone, but also our personal sadhana. We should find a way to challenge ourselves internally by those practices which really propel our development of our relationship with Krishna on a deep level. And that's different for everyone. So, because as long as we're enthused, then we can enthuse others. And this whole verse and purport is about how to connect others and how to enthuse. So to the extent that we're connected, we're going to be able to connect others. And to the extent that we're enlivened and inspired, we're going to be able to inspire others. So as we keep progressing on our stepping stones towards those higher stages of bhakti, then we can also have the momentum, you know, like to pull others along. Just like there's a big 18-wheeler going down the highway and it's got all this momentum. And when, you know, there's a small car that's putting along, it gets pulled along, you know. So by our momentum. So we need to keep moving to keep that momentum, keep generating more and more momentum. And with that, we can, you know, people get pulled along from wherever they are, from whatever stone that they're getting into the flow. So the idea is to just keep progressing and find ways to help others keep progressing. All right, I'll stop there. Any questions or comments on these? Mother Ragatmika and then Madhumati.
Thank you, Prabhupada Priya, for coming. Wonderful class. You said as soon as one accepts the personality of God, then all the dirty things come up.
Did I say that?
Yes.
I said when you accept the personal form, then Krishna as a person helps.
Well, you said that near the end, yes, that he sweeps out all the dirty things. But you did say in the beginning, that's why there's such a challenge to accept the person of God, person. Mm.
Right, yeah, that those dirty things tend to be directed towards a person and they block our acceptance of the personal form.
The dirty things come up in the course of our interaction with other persons.
Yeah.
And therefore, oh, that's why one would...
I mean, I didn't say that, but that's true, what you said.
I'm trying to get a better, deeper understanding of why the dirty things come up by accepting the person of God.
Yeah, because the point I was making in the beginning was that lust and greed and envy and all those things, they come up generally in association with persons, or they're directed towards persons.
Yeah. Okay.
And the person, so we envy a person who's superior to us, right? Or lust is directed towards a person who is attractive to us, right? Or we'll be greedy to have something. Why? Because somebody else has more. And so then that like makes us want it too, to sort of keep up with the Joneses kind of thing. So then, because Krishna has got it all, because he's the most attractive, because he's the supreme controller, then he's the person that we are going, those dirty things are really going to, you know, manifest in relation to him. In a big way, yeah.
We understand that Vyasadev compiled Bhagavatam with his maturity, and he had already compiled other, you know, the Mahabharata and other for the less intelligent, so to speak. And Bhagavatam is pure, it talks about bhakti yoga. And so here we're hearing, and other places in the Bhagavatam, we hear. Like Shukdev Goswami describing the Virat Rupa, a materialistic conception of the Lord. And you explain nicely that it is Maharaj Pariksit's compassion. He asks his questions, yet the question comes, you know, at least in my mind, that since Bhagavatam is the topmost and it describes bhakti, why few times in the Bhagavatam we hear about the Virat Rupa? Again, in one sense I understand there are sages there and, you know, who are on, but yet the thought comes to my mind, any kind of thought that you have.
Yeah, because it's like, if you remember Srila Prabhupada's purport to the very first verse of Bhagavatam, that he says in that purport that Krishna is God, but he's not only God, he's the absolute truth. So, because if you say that Krishna is God, that means that, you know, this table's not God, I'm not God, you know, whatever, the tree out there is not God. So that means that there's something which is not Krishna. That Krishna is Krishna, and all these other things have nothing to do with Krishna, because they're not God, they're not Krishna. So, Prabhupada's point is that therefore the absolute truth is higher, the conception of the absolute truth is higher than the conception of God, because it includes God and everything else, or it establishes that God is not just a finite, you know, person, not just a person, but he's simultaneously a person and everything else. That everything is his energies, everything is a manifestation of his energies. So this whole universe is also, in one sense, Krishna, through his energies, right? It's Achintya Bheda Bheda Tattva. There's one purport, we're doing Bhakti Shastri at Krishna House, there's one purport that comes up in the, I think it's in the ninth chapter, and it's talking about how everybody is Krishna. I remember that. It's like, so this person's Krishna, and that person's Krishna, and this is Krishna, and that's also Krishna, and Prabhupada says everything's Krishna. So at the end of the purport, it's like, oh, we're all Krishna, everything's Krishna, and I'm Krishna, you're Krishna, we're all Krishna. But how is that? No, we're parts and parcels of, we're all, everything is Krishna's energy, we're all parts and parcels of Krishna. So, so it's just, it's the Bhagavatam wants to emphasize this fact, that param sattvam dhimahi, that we should meditate on Krishna as the absolute truth. I meditate on him, Lord Sri Krishna, for he is the absolute truth. The primeval cause of all causes of the creation, sustenance, annihilation of the manifested universe is directly and indirectly conscious of all things like that. So that's our meditation. But in bhakti, we like to focus on Krishna as a person in Vrindavan, with the cowherd boys, with the gopis, with Mother Yashoda, with Nanda Maharaj. But in the back of our minds, because we've read all this in the Bhagavad, we know that this Krishna is not an ordinary person. So that when we hear those pastimes of Krishna with the gopis and all these things, then we know we're not talking about an ordinary person. This is not an ordinary person, and the activities that Krishna performs are not ordinary, and an ordinary person cannot do what Krishna is doing. So that's why it's all there. Yes, Prue?
Now, thinking about the bridge preaching, I couldn't help but think that knowing devotees, if they're giving, they're doing a yoga class, that there's going to be prasadam, there's going to be mahaprasadam, there's going to be verses that are introduced, you know, as well as a personal association. So it seems like ultimately it won't be a complete waste of time, because they're going to have had those kinds of interactions. Of course, ideally, you want to bring them all the way across, but you know, Nihabi Kram will now show Steve, right, that even a little advancement on this path, which they're making by having association, by taking prasadam, that it's still helpful.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. I mean, wherever there's a devotee, wherever there's like even a tiny little glimmer of bhakti, that's going to be for the person's eternal benefit. So it's never a waste of time. Yeah. Thank you.
Hari Bol. Some philosophers believe that because the Lord is unlimited, a form would limit him. You know.
That would.
Any kind of form would limit him because he is unlimited. How would you clarify that?
Well, I would say that if the unlimited absolute truth wants to take a personal form, then why should we limit him? That if you say that he can't have a personal form, that's limiting him. Right? Like, I have a personal form. Why can't God have a personal form? That's limiting him.
There's a nice story about somebody challenged Prabhupada, and he was trying to trick Prabhupada. And he asked him, he said, if Krishna's God, can he make a rock that he can't pick up?
Yeah.
Oh, you all heard this. Yeah. And he said, Prabhupada said, yes. He can do that. And then when he wants, he can pick it up. So that kind of fits into the same category. You can't limit Krishna. He can do anything. At the same time, he can change it anytime he so likes.
Exactly. Yeah, like we see that in the Bhagavad Gita, that Krishna has his form. He's standing there in front of Arjuna in his two-armed form. But then he reveals the universal form. He shows, I am the universe. And then he reveals the four-armed form. I'm also Vishnu. But actually the supreme form, this is me. You know, and he there's many places in the Bhagavad Gita where he kind of goes through these, it's sort of like a thing throughout the scriptures where Krishna will present, you know, himself in other forms, but he'll be like, actually, this is the real me. You know, in the ninth chapter, he starts off saying that his relationship with the material world, right? What's that verse? By me and my unmanifested form, all the universes are pervaded, all beings are me, but I'm not in them. So, Jagat Avyakta Murtina. So he talks about how he's pervading everything in the universe. And then he talks about how he's controlling everything, right? Maya Dyakshina Prakritis, that, does the translation start? This material nature, which is one of my energies, is working under my direction. Yeah, so he's talking about how he pervades everything through his Avyaktamurti, his unmanifested form. And then he talks about how material nature is also working under his direct. So he speaks about how he's present everywhere, how he's controlling everything. But then he turns around and says, but actually, those are just my energies. And the real me is right here. The real me is the one that's speaking to you, that's in a relationship with